What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio. I'm your host, Josh Levine. My guest this week is Lay Youth. House producer, making some of my favorite kind of R&B house tracks lately. He blew up a few years back with an unofficial remix of Cool featuring Cassie Ventura, and he's been making sexy music since then. He's gonna tell us some of the lessons that he's learned along the way in his career, going through some serious challenges, lawsuits, all kind of stuff, kind of finding his way as an artist and reinventing as he goes. He's got some great lessons on how he stays focused on his end goal. And he's got a show coming up here in Los Angeles. If you're here on the 29th of October, you're gonna wanna check out layyouth.com or find him online and be at the show. You might find us there. We'll get into the interview right after our EDM.com track of the week. Here we go. That was Carmelo with a track called Feel You Now, our EDM.com track of the week. Check out EDM.com and check out Carmelo on Deep Sounds, soundcloud.com/deepsounds or Spotify Deep Sounds playlist. And now let's hear from Lay Youth. That's funny. Well, thanks for doing this, man. I know you're like super busy. Crazy touring schedule and launching labels and all kind of important stuff. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Dope. Well, I'm excited to have you on, man. I've been following you, you know, from Dennis, who was our first guest on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you get started making music?
So I started, I started as a drummer when I was in like third grade. My uncle taught me how to play drums.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then,
Before you started playing, were you into music as a kid?
Yeah, or? I was like always into music.
Yeah,
I used to like just listen to the like pop radio. Uh-huh. I remember thinking like one of my earliest memories was that the first time I remember sitting in my bedroom listening to music and being like, oh, this song is so good. Okay, it's 8:38 p.m. Tomorrow it should be playing at 8:38 p.m.
No way.
And I would come back in the next day.
Oh, that's
funny. At 8:38, and I'm like, it's not on.
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
That's hilarious.
I've always been into music.
What was the song?
I have no idea. I think it was like Paula Abdul or something.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Straight up.
So, yeah, it's probably something like that.
Nice. Okay. And then Paula Abdul is kind of dope.
She's very dope.
Yeah.
Very dope. And then I started playing in bands and was like, you know, writing songs all through high school.
Yeah.
In
Toledo.
Yeah, Toledo, Ohio. Nice. Always wanted to be a singer,
yeah.
but knew how to play drums and knew how to sing as well. So I was like, first band, I was like playing drums and singing.
Oh,
like
wow.
We were in like seventh grade.
Yeah.
And didn't feel very cool. So I was like, I just have to stop playing the drums. I continued playing, obviously, but
right.
I sang in the band. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So then I was in a band like up until like, honestly, like 4 years ago. I was in a band like we were signed to Warner, toured the world.
What's the band called?
Are we recording?
Yeah, we got to keep it on the low.
I don't talk about it very often. We can go get into why. But the band was called Rediscover.
Okay.
yeah, just like try to distance myself from that. When I started making Lay Youth stuff, I was like kind of burned out on it, and like didn't want the listeners and fans from Rediscovered to kind of like come over into Lay Youth, because it's kind of like, this sounds bad, it's kind of what ruined it for me, was like I was playing for an audience that I didn't really want to play for. It didn't feel right. So the last thing I wanted to do was have them sort of follow me into that. So I changed.
What was the sound?
It was like, I can tell you. So like I was making electronic music. Yeah. I couldn't play drums in my apartment. Right. So I was like, I'll start making electronic music. So I started doing that and like making beats and then singing to them.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't really know like chords that well. I didn't really know like guitar. I knew just a little bit, knew a little bit of piano, but was able to sort of make songs and then just sing to them.
Cool.
So at the same time, I was learning how to record and produce music. And so the sound ended up being like electronic sort of singer-songweiter stuff. It was weird. There was no one doing it. And I mean, there were people doing it, but there wasn't like this bedroom producer thing was new. Like nobody was doing that. No one's making like beats and singing to them and like trying to go this route that I was taking the music. And so I heard what song was it? I think it's like a Cher song, and I heard the auto-tune thing. I didn't know what it was. I'm like, what is this, the vocoder? What the hell is this?
Yeah.
And so I did some research and found out that there's this hardware version of this Antares auto-tune. This is before the software. It was meant to be used in a studio.
Oh wow.
And I bought it, and so I started singing into that, and I was like sort of doing this like auto-tuned voice thing behind electronic music.
Yeah.
And started playing some shows, and was playing with certain bands. I don't want to say what bands they were, but they like were totally like, fair. Oh, how are you doing that? How are you doing that? And I told them how I was doing it, and then of course like they fucking skyrocketed since then, and they're still doing it to this day.
Yeah.
So
we can kind of guess who that might be.
Yeah. Right. So exactly, you can guess who it would be. So and funny enough, I was credited as being like the first band, though relatively unknown, to do the auto-tune thing. So like nobody was doing it. And then the software version came out, and I downloaded the software, and then obviously everyone's doing it now.
Sure.
And then so like, and I remember I had a meeting with Atlantic Records. They wanted to sign my band back in the day. And this guy, who I don't want to say, I'm like really throwing everyone under the bus here, was like, he's like, yo, this auto-tune thing is whack. You got to stop doing it. Like no one's doing it. It's stupid. It sounds whack. And I'm like, I kind of like it, and it's kind of my sound. And like, I wasn't that good of a singer. Like, I never really liked my voice. And yeah, I don't know. And then
that's hilarious.
Yeah, so it was an interesting story. And that's kind of followed me. So basically, like when I started Lay Youth, I didn't want that stuff to continue. I was like, I might not sing on the Lay Youth stuff. I want to have a fresh start. So I like ditched my last name, started using a different name,
right?
And then started this new project, and was like, I remember like emailing people about it, like managers or agents, like, yo, here's my new project. It's called Lay Youth. I didn't say new project. Here's my project. It's called Lay Youth. And just kind of being like tempted to be like, oh, I'm also was in this band that was signed to Warner and we toured the world. Like, I kind of know what I'm doing.
Right. Kind of give you like, some credibility.
Yeah. And I always wrote it and I'm like, fuck it. No, I'm just deleting it. And I would delete it and I would send it. And like dozens of emails went unanswered. But every once in a while, someone was like, oh, who's this new kid doing this new thing, like where he's coming out of nowhere. And I learned something then, was like people want that. People want the, like, at least the industry wants this idea that like, oh, it's this new kid who came out of nowhere. And nobody wants to be the guy who didn't sign that kid who like, you know, went off.
Yeah.
And so it kind of worked to my advantage. And like,
yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. Like, you know, we talk about that a lot, whether it's music or other areas, that, you know, like failure is part of the process, right? But at the same time, you're trying to get people to take a chance on you. Like, are people less likely to take a chance on you after the thing before that didn't work?
I would say that 95% of the time, that's the case.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know why. I have friends who are in bands now, who are in successful bands in the past, and it's like, you know, trying to use that stuff to create this new story.
Sure.
And I'm like, I don't think it works like that. I don't know. I don't know why.
Yeah.
All I know is like people stopped responding to my emails in my last band, and I'm like, nobody gave a shit anymore.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I wasn't that new kid. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And it's like reinventing myself was like one of the greatest things I ever did.
Nice.
I tell people all the time. And I think people are still kind of too scared to take that risk, to reinvent themselves and to not use their previous successes to create new successes. So
I think it's hard, you know, you get, I mean, it's kind of like you said, like, and I'm curious, I want to go back a little bit to kind of how it happened at the beginning. But I think, like, you know, like, to some extent, things just sort of happen, right? And then to reinvent, like, you have to be really purposeful. Mm. And you have to, like, make a plan. Whereas, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but I think a lot of people, when you're just starting out, there is no plan. You just kind of do it.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, you're in third grade, and then next thing you know, you're making records. Mm-hmm. And, like, so, but go back to that for a second. Like, how did you, how did it become a business from playing drums in third grade? Like, where was the point?
I've been getting that question a lot. So actually, just last week, I was in Mexico, and I did this interview, and they asked, how'd you get into the music industry? And I'm like, I didn't get it. It's not like I was like, oh, I graduated college, now I'm going to go be in the music industry.
Right.
I was like, and I think I answered it some fucking narcissistic way. I was like, I think music industry, like, came around me. Like, I didn't really, like, I just made music.
Sure.
And that's the fucking coolest part about it. It's like, that's all you have to do is just make music.
Yeah.
And
so was there a point when you knew that you wanted to do that for a living?
Yeah. So I was in, it was actually in college, my freshman year, and took electronic music course and failed it. And I was like, this is, something's wrong here. I'm like, wait a minute, I know how to make electronic music.
Yeah.
And I took a guitar class, failed that as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, school's not for me.
Maybe not.
This is like, this isn't my thing.
Maybe it's them.
So I dropped out, and 6 months later, I'm like touring the country, signed to Warner. Like,
wow.
It was like pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And every like cool thing that's happened for me, it's been when I took that risk.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when you actually just take that step and you just do it. And people are scared to do that. And I get it. Like, it's scary.
Sure.
But with practice, like, eventually, the more risks you take, the less risky each risk feels. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, so I was in college, failed the course, dropped out, was like, I'm going to do this. And I remember, like, I guess to some degree, I didn't realize I was joining the music industry. I just knew that, like, I want to make this my job. I want to go on tour. I want to, like, have a band.
Yeah.
So I added a guitar player, and we started making these songs, or he started recording guitar to these songs that I'd already written.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just started pushing them out. And within, like, a month or two, labels started coming forward.
Nice.
And so, yeah, it was like, it wasn't ever like a struggle for me in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a struggle to, like, make the music industry care about the music. The best part about the music industry is that they care about music.
Right, sure.
It's like, that's their job.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it takes, like, a little bit of, like, wit and and obviously good music.
I mean, that's an interesting point, right? Like, I think if you talk to a lot of like aspiring musicians, right, there's all this emphasis on, like, getting discovered. And I think, you know, that's probably not where the focus belongs, right?
Right.
I mean, there's an industry that's set up to discover you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So first and foremost, you have to make good music.
You
don't stand a chance if you don't make good music.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's like, yeah, it takes a little bit, you know, you got to be smart a bit. You have to, like, try new things, and you have to, like, do smart things. And it was just like, last weekend I was talking to this guy who's starting this label, and he's like, oh, we wanted to do this thing where we like, all the people who follow our label, like, we let them get a free download and blah blah blah, these plans set up for, like, getting music to their own people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but you're not getting new followers,
you're
just giving the music to the people who already follow you.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh. And this plan they had been working on for, like, 2 weeks, like, I just crushed it in seconds.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, I didn't mean to do that.
Sure.
I was just, like, talking.
Yeah.
And, so I think, like, you just need to, like, think about things. And, like, what's the end goal?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? And reverse engineer it.
Yeah.
Just go backwards. You want to be on tour by next year. Right now, you've only written one song.
Right.
What needs to happen in those steps?
Sure.
You don't just write one song and then go on tour. There's many steps need to happen. Start from the end and just reverse engineer it.
Yeah. I got to tell you a quick story. I started my career interning at Motown in A&R. And so I was answering the phones for these three A&R guys. and people would call up, like, people would call up to talk to Michael Jackson, like literally, even though he, even though A, he wasn't there and he wasn't even on the label at the time, right? It was Jackson 5. It was like 2 decades since he had been on the label. But people would call, like, can I speak to Boyz II Men? Like, they're just sitting around waiting to take off. And then
That's amazing. Actually.
We would just get these crazy phone calls. But, you know, a couple, I'd say 3 or 4 times people called to audition. Like, they would call, they wanted to schedule an audition, right? We want to come in and sing for you, whatever. And it was my job to tell them no. And then, like, but a couple of them just started singing on the phone.
Yeah,
they're like,
sure.
I'm like, yeah, well, we can't really do it. And they just start singing. Like, and, you know, I just thought it was funny at the time.
That's amazing.
I was 19. I didn't know anything. But, you know, now, like, you can appreciate the passion and just the, like, drive, the hunger that people had.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, there was no plan thinking about, like, no one's going to listen to you on a telephone.
There was the one guy who probably didn't call in, went into, back into his bedroom and, like, wrote a song. And it was like, I'm going to do this the right way.
Right.
And
exactly.
It's like.
Exactly.
There's, yeah. And it's like, sometimes I think, like, it's good that there are people who, like, work like that. And, like, that just, like, you know, kind of weeds out the, the other people. Then every once in a while you get this one person who kind of sneaks through who made it from doing some weird.
Exactly. Like, lightning strikes and then.
Yeah, and that's what's great about the world, right?
For sure.
It's like, it should never, no one should fuck with that. It should always be able, someone should always be able to, like, call a phone and sing a song and make it, get a record deal.
Totally. So did you, like, how did you come to understand that? Like, you talk about, like, having an end goal, working your way back. Was that, did you know that from day one? Or
You know what's funny? I would be lying if I said I didn't watch a YouTube video where the guy said that motivational thing.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, first of all, my parents are incredible. They're incredibly supportive, and I wouldn't be anywhere without them.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people can say that about themselves. And so rad parents, super smart. Yeah, I watched this video. There was, like, you know, it was like ending my last band. It was like kind of, you know, I knew it was getting close to being over. And when I say band, I just mean, like, I was deciding to stop. I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue doing it.
Right.
You know, it was kind of going through this time where, like, I was starting Lay Youth. I didn't know it was Lay Youth. I didn't know it was going to be Lay Youth. And didn't really know, didn't really have direction. And I just watched some fucking motivational video.
No way.
I was like, oh, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
And there was just some guy in his bedroom talking about reverse engineering this goal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's genius. That's perfect. And it was at least something that, like, got me up out of bed, whether it works or not. It was at least something to, like, to cling to. And I think we sort of need those things to, like, always fall back on. So I always had a plan to fall back on. I could always go get that piece of paper out that had my goals reverse engineered on it. So it worked for me. But it was like, you know, it's like the band was ending, didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't have any money. I was fucking completely broke. Living in, like, a one bedroom apartment in, like, North Hollywood, not very stoked on things. We can get into it later, but I was also being sued by my guitar player from my last band at the same time. Yeah, it was the craziest moment. It was craziest, like, month, I would say.
Yeah.
The lawsuit lasted 2 years, but it was nearing an end at this month. It was like this month that I'm referring to. It was like it was coming to an end. It's like, didn't know what I wanted to do. Hadn't really started Lay Youth yet, and made this track called Cool, and fucking put it out. And woke up the next day from labels who wanted to sign it.
Yeah.
And was like, that was history. And then it was like, won the lawsuit, got signed. Money problems gone, on tour, and it was like boom, 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 boom. It was like, I couldn't have been a more magical, like, it was actually a week. I'm saying a month. It was like a week with all this shit kind of came together.
That's a good week.
It was incredible. Yeah. It was life-changing.
So what does that do? What does that do to your head?
You know, I think, like, I'm always going to be humble no matter what. I can't imagine not being that. But I think that was, like, the perfect, like, way that kept me humble. It was like, you know, I've been working for a long time. People think I just came out of nowhere. But, like, I had a previous project. I was, like, sleeping in a van with 4 other guys on tour for, like, years. And was, like, fighting. And trying all these new things. And, you know, like, I paid my dues, as they say. You look at, like, some of these other guys who just, like, came out of nowhere, like, fucking, it's a bad example, like Bieber, for instance, like, he's totally fucked. He's gonna be like that for the rest of his life.
Right.
And the poor guy, like, doesn't know really what it's like. Not that he hasn't paid his dues in his own ways.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he has an incredible story. But, yeah, just, you know, I don't think it did much to my head. I mean, it felt great. It felt, made me feel cool. And, but I knew that from my past experiences, like, feeling cool is only as good as your last song, right?
Sure.
It's like, it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
And people aren't going to care forever. And, this is another thing I sort of live by is, like, always be cool to the to everyone you meet, because like, what's the saying? It's like the people you meet on the way up are the same people you're gonna see you on the way back down.
For sure.
And we're all gonna go back down.
Yeah.
It's like, and so having those people who are like, yo, he was rad to me on his way up, and you know, he still responds to my emails. I think that goes a long way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you know, you talk about the, you know, having the goals, right? Having kind of the mission. And then, you know, before that week, you know, all these challenges, right? So at any point, do you question the mission?
Oh, yeah. You do lots of questioning.
Yeah.
Dude, there was, I almost moved back to Toledo, Ohio in that sort of year, like transition time.
By the way, I was born in Bowling Green.
No shit.
So I don't really have ties there. My dad was in school.
Bowling Green wasn't that far.
No. I mean, Toledo was like the city.
I mean, I played Bowling Green at Howard's. You ever go to
Is
Howard's
that right?
Club age?
No, we moved away when I was two.
Oh, you
just,
were?
My dad was in, he was getting his PhD at Bowling Green State. And
that's
so
hilarious.
I have a small connection.
Crazy. You've never been back, though?
Yeah, I think once when I was four.
So we would play shows in Toledo, and then Bowling Green was just far enough we could hit that town as well, and it'd be like part of the tour. But those were like the rowdiest shows.
Well, it's good to know, like, I've often thought, like, how fortunate it was that we moved to California, and like, my life would have been very different growing up in Bowling Green.
Very different.
But it's good to know that somebody from that area is, like, you know, on the right path.
That's great. There's not many of us.
I wouldn't have had to necessarily be a farmer or whatever out there.
Yeah, some of my best friends still live there, so I can't talk.
No, I'm not hating on it. I just, like I said, it's so different than where I ended up.
What was I talking about?
No, I was asking about, you know, what happens when you question.
So I was talking, I almost moved back to Toledo. You know, like, I was going through this lawsuit thing, and that was like breaking me down. It was like bringing up all this old stuff from my past, and it was a tough time. And you start questioning things when you're like walking dogs to make money. You're like, what am I doing? What happened?
Yeah.
And but I mean, with the exception of like almost moving back to Toledo, and I didn't obviously. Like, there weren't that many moments where I was, like, ready to throw in the towel, where I was, like, this is it. I'm going to go back to school or something. Like, that was never on the table.
Yeah.
It was always just a matter of, like, I just need to find another way. And I did.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, if next year everyone is like, yo, La Youth is the worst stuff we've ever heard, I don't want to listen to it again, like, I'll just change my name. I'll pop back up on your radio
nice.
Or something.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's just like, this is what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
And I'm forgetting the saying, but like, what is like the journey is the reward or something, or like the destination journey. And that's true. It's like, this is like, if I wasn't fighting, I don't know what I would be doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I love doing it. I love like growing and making music, and this is just, I have the coolest job.
Yeah. So. I mean, it strikes me like, you know, all these struggles. I mean, obviously somebody suing you, that's a very real thing. But like, so much of this stuff is like, we just do it to ourselves. It's all in our heads. Right. And I think, you know, meaning like, you know, when good things happen to us, we tell ourselves whatever story about that. Either it's because we're so fucking amazing, or because there was some, you know, forces that conspired to help us, or whatever it is, right? It's not, and it's right or wrong, whatever, you know, and same thing when bad thing happens, right? But I think it's so interesting, you know, how you navigate that in a way that works for you.
That is really interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
And you can't, you know, and the work you do, like, you know, when things aren't going right, you can't just work harder to make better music. Like, that's not, I don't mean to say, I mean, it's hard work. Mm-hmm. Not that I've ever done it, but I've seen it from afar and, right? But it's not like, this song isn't good enough, I need to work harder.
Right, right, right.
You don't swing the sledgehammer that much harder to make the song better.
I think people do think that, though, which is crazy. Yeah, you know, like, I was just listening to this podcast. This guy was talking about people, like, who think that, like, oh, I'm really successful. I have this business, and I can thank myself. And we sort of, like, don't consider all the people that we should actually be thanking, such as parents or friends or those people you meet on your way up.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, you're right. I actually don't spend a lot of time thinking about things like that.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
But, yeah, right. I remember, like, when I was just starting, like, the Lay Youth stuff, before I knew it was Lay Youth, I got into meditation. Mm. I knew, like, I needed to clear my head. Nice. I was also going through this lawsuit and needed to, like,
what kind of meditation?
Mindfulness.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would just, like, you know, sit there for what felt like hours, just like trying to clear my head and be able to like actually produce music while also dealing with this other stuff going on in my life, and being broke and like all those things can really fuck with you.
So now, thankfully, we're past all that, and I know you know, Cool kind of opened that door in a lot of ways, and then, you know, you've made a lot of great music since then.
Thanks.
and that continues. So now, what's, thinking about that reverse engineering, what's the next goal?
So actually, it's funny, is I've like exceeded the reverse engineer part. Like, I'm past the part of, like, I'm kind of like, where's the next step? What do we do now?
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So I haven't really thought much about that. I just kind of going like day by day and sort of like goal by goal. Mm-hmm. And so for now, I want to obviously like follow up the success of some of the previous songs that I put out. And I don't want my job, my life to end. I want this, like, this thing to keep going.
Yeah.
So that's a big motivator for me. It's like to sort of just keep the fire going. Which is kind of weird. It's probably maybe not the healthiest way to be, like, operating. You know, I think I keep talking about these, like, videos. You guys probably think I'm, like, sitting home looking for motivational videos.
Dude,
or something.
I think YouTube is an amazing resource. I wish we had it when I was a kid.
Right, yeah. But this video I saw was, like, you know, don't think about, maybe it wasn't even a video, I don't remember, but it was, like, don't think about, like, you know, like, being on that yacht, like, 2 years from now and, like, being famous and having songs on the radio. Just focus on, like, what you need to do to get there. So focus on, like, the music. Focus on making great music. And I think that's so true.
Yeah.
And I think what can happen is, like, you have success from something and you start, like, that fucks with your head and you start thinking about, like, oh, I want to be on the radio again. And I want another top 10 single. And that's your motivator. And that messes with the music, obviously.
Sure.
Like, when I make Cool, like, I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't like trying to be on the radio. I didn't think it was going to be on the radio.
Yeah.
And I just was just making music. And what's even funnier is, like, the next song that came out was actually a song I'd done previous to Cool. And that did even better on the radio.
Which one was that?
It was Dance With Me.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually made that before Cool. Nice. It came out in reverse order.
Nice.
And that was, like, number 8 on in the UK.
Yeah.
On the charts. It was, like, just wild.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm, like, here, like, in a taxi in the UK, like, in London, like, listening to this song I made, like, having no idea what I was doing.
That's great.
It was really weird. So, like, yeah, sampling TLC, nonetheless. And, like, I'm like, this doesn't seem right.
So let's talk about music for a minute, because, you know, your sound, like I said, it's definitely, like, my kind of thing, but, you know, it draws on a lot of what I would call, like, classic, you know, house and R&B and, you know, kind of pulls music and ideas from, you know, other times into today. And so how'd that happen for you? Like,
I think I've always gravitated towards, like, the underground stuff and, stuff that people aren't doing, stuff that I'm not hearing. And I don't know. It's just like how I'm built. It wasn't even really a thought like, oh, I want to do something that no one else is doing. That's just always what I do.
Sure.
So when I got into dance music, like I was like, that's this kind of stuff I gravitated towards. And then when it came to like sampling, putting in a vocal sample into my track, it was like, I drew from the stuff I knew, and mm-hmm. that was like 90s pop radio, which is like the Paula Abdul stuff that we talked about earlier. It's like, I'm like, oh, I know a great vocal that would sound dope on this.
Yeah.
And then it's just a lot of experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's trying to do something that like other people aren't doing. And that's what I did with the band as well. Like, with that auto tune and stuff mm-hmm. and doing mm-hmm. all those new things that no one was doing. It's like, it's just trying to do new shit.
Yeah.
Because at the end of my life, like when I look back on what I've done, I'm going to be way happier knowing that like, yeah, maybe I didn't like, maybe I wasn't the one who dominated and was like at the top and like, and really capitalized on something, mm-hmm. but at least I was like, at least I was there at the beginning and like did what was real to me and what was cool to me.
Yeah. Hey, check it out. Rebel Radio is brought to you by Wix.com. Do you need a website? No, let me tell you, you do need a website, and you can do it yourself with Wix.com. No matter what business you're in, if you got a startup, your music career, your earwax collection, I don't know what you're doing. Whatever it is, you need a website. And Wix is used by more than 84 million people worldwide. It makes it easy to get your website live today. You can spend time on your business. Don't spend time building your website. There's hundreds of designer-made templates to choose from. Use the drag-and-drop editor. You drop in your images, your videos, your copy. And next thing you know, you have a beautiful website that you built yourself. It's fast, it's easy, it's free. We did it with rebelradio.net. Check it out, and you can see the amazing work you can do with Wix.com. You're too busy with everything else? Stop worrying about your website. Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com, create your own website today, send it to us, and we will promote it online. All right. Talk about homework. I know you...
So I wanted to take back the goal behind homework is to take back the power is essentially of my own control of my own music.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of music that hasn't been out and so this label structure where I was waiting like 9 months for a track to come out. Luckily I was able to get out of that deal
mm-hmm.
and the goal was always to sort of create a label or some way of releasing my own music.
Nice.
And then also to create like a brand and, but it's essentially the reasons why people start labels in the first place is kind of mm-hmm. we're into music. I want to create like a home for music and create a collective of artists that I believe in, that I think is going to change the world and change music.
Yeah.
And, that's what I'm doing. And I have like all these friends that are like, even in Southern California, like that are just making amazing music. And Dennis, for instance, mm-hmm. and like, we're all just kind of like, oh, put a track out here with this label, do this, da 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 da. And we're like playing shows and like Dennis will come up and we'll do a back to back set, totally random. And people love it. And I'll be like, pop on Gold Room's set and at Coachella or vice mm-hmm. versa. And it's like we could be sort of creating like a home for this. You see a lot of these like EDM guys that like, it's just like one quick look at like X DJs, like you name this DJ's like Instagram and you see him taking pictures of these other guys and then like, and then there's this one guy who's coming up and before you know it, he's in the picture with the other guys. Totally. They stay very tight.
Yeah.
It's just like this little click.
Yeah, we had JCO on and he was talking about like the politics of trading, like reposts.
It's just killing it for me. I'm not into it. The SoundCloud dream is kind of dead, I think.
That's over.
Yeah, that's just where like the business kind of fucks with the music.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they just can't avoid it. But it's funny you mentioned that. Like Kool is a perfect example. I had sampled someone else's song and like didn't credit her in it.
Sure.
Like just called it my track, And but again, it was totally like under the, I didn't know it was gonna do anything.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, I can't complain that much because that track did come out and I didn't have to credit Cassie on it. Right. And, you know, Dance With Me came out and didn't have to credit TLC. Oddly enough, those are both UK releases mm-hmm. where, you know, through the UK label kind of understands dance music a bit right. better than we do here in the yeah. US. But yeah, I think the business is probably always going to motivate the music, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you navigate? I mean, I think, like, my perception is you're bigger as an artist in UK. I know you had a radio show. Mm. And it's, you know, I sense your brand's bigger over there than it is here.
Yeah, I think I actually probably say it's not anymore, okay. but it certainly was like 2 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, like the Cool. I mean, Cool still gets played on Radio 1, which is awesome. Sure. But it was like on daytime radio. It was like mm-hmm. you'd like it was like between like Justin Timberlake and Daft Punk, literally like so weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, but they also move way quicker on things than we do here.
Right.
It's like, you know, the next month, no one's coming to your shows. Yeah. That can happen very easily.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yeah, I think for a while it was bigger and there were things going on. And, but the idea of like, it's just incredibly stressful, like trying to follow up success there and trying to stay relevant.
I'm sure.
And the fact that I had like 2 top 10 singles was, I'm totally stoked on that.
Yeah.
And to be able to like at the same time that was kind of, you know, slowing down, the US was picking up mm-hmm. and I'm happy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So I mean the goal is to like is to follow up things there. But like the idea of like, oh, each single needs to do better than the next, like that will fuck with your head.
Sure.
It's crazy. And not many people have been able to do it. Yeah. I can only think about like Duke DeMont, I think, mm-hmm. is one of the, like, as far as dance music goes, mm-hmm. He's done a great job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he also lives in the UK. He understands the culture there.
Right.
And when I made Cool and Dance With Me, like I said, like, I didn't know what I was doing.
So how is it important to spend time, like, in the market? Like, obviously, you go over there and do shows or whatever,
I
mean, but
I think when there's a business, when there's the business behind it, when Sony was behind it, didn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It's like they're just putting money into it and they're like getting it into the place it needs to go.
Yeah.
And that's the business side that I'm like was very cool to me. And I'm very fortunate. But like, you know, it's not like I like paid my dues in the UK. Mm-hmm. It wasn't mm-hmm. like I like was there DJing. Duke DeMont's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
He's like his success is well deserved.
Yeah.
I just happened to write a song that they were like, oh, people are going to like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was.
Yeah.
So living there, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it would be good to like to understand. I certainly like struggled for some of the DJ sets. I was like, you know, like in the US, I'd play Duke DeMont or Disclosure and it would go off. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing it there and these people like just heard it on the car ride to the club.
Yeah.
And it's like, I struggled for a bit.
Sure. Knowing the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I figured it out eventually. And it's like, but I'm always learning. If, you know, that's what this is for me. It's like always learning. Every DJ set is kind of like, what am I? Like, in fact, I just tweeted something that I played San Antonio at this like hole in the wall bar the other night, which like should have never happened. It was like the venue kept changing and they put me in this weird place, but it was packed. Like it was all these rad people and I remember like I tweeted something at the end of the night like thanks San Antonio, like I learned how to DJ tonight
because
I wasn't ready for that and it was like and I had to kind of adapt and learn new things and
so how do you do that on the fly when there's, you know, people in the room and
luckily DJing is a bit different than like playing a live instrument so like you do have a bit of time and if you're good you know how to get out of a situation that you probably shouldn't be in if you get to some techie house thing and the people who want like you know some want Genuine like you fucked up so like get out quick I don't know it's just like and then it's a matter of like doing your thing too so like I, most importantly for me, I want to do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like, I'll play a club that's just like, my thing ain't gonna work. Right. Like, I need to figure out something else out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always just like I said, it's always learning. It's like, oh shit, this isn't gonna work. Let's try something different.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You know, talk about I want to talk about partnerships a little bit, and what you've learned. Obviously, you know, having the band and the lawsuit, and then now going into a label where you're be partnering with artists that, you know, whose music you're putting out, whatever. So what lessons have you picked up about maybe what makes a good partner for you? And
I don't think I'm that good at working with people.
Okay.
So when I started the band, it was just me and writing my songs and the way I wanted to. And then I added this guitar player with the intention of writing songs with him.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like we just were going two different directions. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
So he was happy just to record the guitar to the songs after I'd already written them. Yeah. And that's just how it worked for me. And then we added a drummer. And, like, he didn't know what he was doing. So, like, you just play drums. I'll show you what to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I had to be honest, I would say I'm probably not good at working with other people.
Yeah.
I'm very cool with people and very nice. And sure. But I'm always more efficient, I guess, on my own.
Mm-hmm.
That said, there are a few people I've met that I work incredibly well with. Like, mm-hmm. Dennis, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
He's just perfect to work with.
So why does that work when some others don't?
I think he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
So, and I'm from like 30 minutes away. So right. I'm just kidding. I don't know. We just get along. And I think like it helps when you're friends before and just personality types, I think. And then taste in music is important.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like what the goal for me has always been to surround myself, even in my social life, in my normal life, is to always surround myself with people that I care about.
Yeah.
People that are like good people. People that like I want to spend time with in the studio. Yeah. People who can call me when they're having like girlfriend issues at like midnight or something. Like
mm-hmm.
that's happened, and those are the people I try to put around me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess I don't have like a clear answer on that.
No, I love that. I mean, I always say don't do business with strangers. Right. Which is usually the opposite of like,
you know, like I don't want to say any names, like I've met people out there like right away I'm like, oh, this isn't my person, no, like this isn't gonna work. In fact, I remember like when I added the guitar player to the band years ago, practiced one night, talked to my parents. This is a young kid, by the way. Talked to my parents. I'm like, oh no, I don't think he's gonna work. And they're like, no, just stick it out. Like you'll learn to work with him.
Mm.
And it's funny, my intuition then, the first fucking day was like, get away from this kid. And this kid inevitably sued me like 6 years later.
Wow.
And I never got along with him through those 6 years.
Are you much quicker to cut people off now?
I'm just much more hesitant to let them in the first place.
Yeah.
So there's people like in the last year that I've met that I'm like, find out my kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just creating boundaries.
Yeah.
It's just being like, oh, I can work with you in this capacity, but like, this kind of stuff, like, it ain't gonna work.
I think that's so hard to do, man.
It is because people can be sneaky. You don't really know.
Yeah.
That's just the risk, mm-hmm. right? That's just what that comes with it. But if you can identify those people right away, that's the move, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Going back to that experience, is there? I'm just thinking of, you know, people who might find themselves in a similar situation. How do you avoid a lawsuit, or is there sometimes it's just
man? Not... That was a crazy story. I know we can get into it. Do we have time?
How are we doing? Yeah, let's hear it.
I'll make it fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So
they're gonna kick us out.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah.
But I definitely want to hear.
I'll make it quick. When I moved to LA, when I left Toledo. I knew like he wasn't gonna come with, he wasn't gonna want to come with.
Yeah.
He was going through his own personal stuff. So I said, hey, we're gonna need to let you go. Mm-hmm. And he was like, thanks, I appreciate it. I actually needed this kind of freedom. Cool, everything was cool. I moved to LA. Some rumors were going back to Toledo that I was making all this money from the band. And when in reality, I was in a massive amount of debt. I bought all the gear, I bought all the lights,
sure.
all the stage stuff. The van, the trailer, the merch, like everything.
Yeah.
And not only that, I wrote every single song
mm-hmm.
without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had to. So basically, these rumors were going back. You know, like, oh, Wes is making all this money, blah, blah, blah. And I went back to Toledo to play a show. Like, I'd lived in LA for like a year and a half, maybe at this point, maybe mm-hmm. not even that long.
Mm-hmm.
And played the show, got off stage, and some guy came up with this packet and was like, "Are you Wes Quiñones?" Literally, it just jumped off stage, taking pictures with people.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And I remember making a joke, like, "Are you serving me papers?" And then just kind of laughed and said, "Fuck off, man." And just kind of like threw it in the merch bin, didn't think about it. And the next morning I woke up like, oh, what was that dude? That guy gave me that pamphlet. What was up with that? I walked out to the van, opened it up, and I was like floored. Wow. It was like this dude just claiming he wrote all the songs.
Yeah.
He had gone, I never copyrighted my music, so I just didn't give a shit. Right. Sure. He went back and in this like time, didn't know what was happening, had gone back and copyrighted all my music. Wow. Claimed that all I did was add lyrics.
Oh, wow.
And that he wrote all the music and the melody.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically like did the things you need to do to win a lawsuit, mm-hmm, about songwriting. Like he had an attorney. So I was living in LA at the time. And it was, for whatever reason, like I had to get an attorney in Ohio,
mm-hmm, right?
For whatever kind of the lawsuit it was,
yeah.
He had all these like he was like bringing up all these old people from my past, saying that they could all verify what he was saying. So basically, I had to get a lawyer from Ohio, who's a great friend of mine now,
mm-hmm,
and fought this lawsuit for like a year and a half, 2 years. And got declaratory judgment, like didn't even need to go into court,
mm-hmm,
it was painful, like destroyed a lot of relationships in my personal life. There were some friends that knew that was happening that weren't like saying stuff to me, and like
that sucks,
dude. A lot of nasty stuff came out of that.
What did that teach you? I mean, obviously keep people out if you know.
It did teach me something about the music business. It taught me that like people will always surprise you, and to trust your gut, and to, mm-hmm, like just get shit fucking signed, do, mm-hmm, contracts. You just have to.
I was
able to go. I found a demo of every single song. It was 32 songs he was claiming, and I found a demo of every single one showing that like I had written it before he had even heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I essentially won the case. And that's
great.
Music law, like that's how it works.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just made me a bit like skeptical about, mm-hmm, people. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for. Like hesitant, mm-hmm, to work with people. And maybe that's why I am the way I am. But I don't know. Like I still like. I don't think it's like shut me off to people. I still take risks all the time.
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe it made me bolder in some ways. Maybe like I'll fucking win this as well. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's so good. I feel like, you know, in business, like, first of all, you got to learn that stuff won't kill you,
because,
mm-hmm, you don't know that, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I music is so interesting because, you know, here you are, you know, a fair amount about music law and about, you know, business management. That's not what you got into it for. And it's, mm-hmm, not like that, you know, you're only learning those things because of your success as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the better you are at your art, the more then you have to do other stuff that you're maybe not that good at.
Right.
Right.
Yep. The reason I didn't graduate college is because I've wanted to avoid all that kind of shit. Like I didn't want to learn that stuff about business law,
of course,
about music law. You know, like I never wanted to know it.
Yeah,
I'm glad I do. I'm glad I did go through it in some ways. But like, you know, like,
yeah, it's not fun.
You know, being around like Dennis Static Revenger, for instance, like very intimidating guy to be around because he knows everything.
Sure.
There's nothing that dude doesn't know.
Yeah,
and you know, it makes me feel like, oh shit, maybe I should be like focusing more on that stuff. But I don't know when I would find the time. You know, like maybe on a flight I can like read some book about like music law or the music business or something. But like,
you're not gonna.
Yeah, it's like I'm not right.
No.
It's like
that's not.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
You better have writing a song.
Yeah, no, that's always been my sort of my goal. Was like I'll just write a song. Or like I'd rather focus on that because that's the one thing that's proven to work for me.
Nice. Well, have a little lightning round before I let you go.
Oh God, I hate these.
We'll make it easy, and you can say pass if there's anything.
Okay.
That we don't care about. Actually, I have one that's not in my lightning round, but because you make the kind of music you do, Do you have a favorite like R&B house mix or collab? If you think back, like, are there any
that stand out to you? Like a sort of like a bootleg thing.
Whatever.
Let me think of a good one.
I'll tell you mine.
Yeah, please.
Well, there's probably a bunch, but the one that always comes first to mind is MK.
Jodeci. MK. It's funny.
They're freaking you. MK.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
A more recent one. You heard the Zach Samuel remix of Karen Harding?
No.
Say Something.
No.
Excellent.
Nice.
I'd say that one. It's like my favorite song to play.
Yeah.
I'd like yell it out to the crowd. And
that's cool.
Yeah. So.
Nice. All right, I'm gonna look that one up.
Yep.
Okay. You might have already kind of, you might have an easier time than you think on some. We might have gotten some of this. But what's something you used to believe and then decided you'd been wrong?
There's so many of these things.
Nice.
Let me think of a good one. Well, I used to always think that you should like be open to working with other people and letting people in and and I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
And still confused about it. It still fucks with me.
Sure.
But yeah, I certainly was wrong about that one.
Yeah.
And then there's things just about like making music that I turned out to be wrong. I remember thinking back to actually when I was recording an album for my last band, thinking like, oh, I want every song to be a hit. I want a record of like 15 fucking singles. I don't care about the record.
Right.
And the producer we were working with, Matt Squire, actually was like saying like, no, you should have some of these like tastier bits in there that aren't going to go to radio. And like, and I think he was right and I was wrong.
No, I mean, that's great. That's great wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That right there.
I think I used that wisdom to create some of the Lay You things that that have been successful for me. You know, so I wasn't like trying to write something. And I would say that's probably the moment in my last band where things started going the wrong direction for me, where I was like trying to chase something as opposed to like create something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ah, that's a good one. Is there a talent you always wish you had more of?
I wish I played piano better. Actually, my parents put my brother and my sister in piano lessons and never made me take any piano lessons. And my brother's a fucking doctor. My sister, like, works in entertainment. Like,
yeah.
And here I am, like, wishing I played fucking piano. It's pretty pathetic, actually.
What about, is there another career besides music that you'd want to pursue?
Something with a steady paycheck.
Okay.
Anything with a steady paycheck.
Yeah.
That's just stressful.
So if you knew you couldn't fail at it and that steady paycheck would be there, what would you do?
I think I wanted to be a chef at some point in my life.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd want to do that now. That's the last thing I knew I wanted to do. Yeah. I think I would work in the music industry. I think I would be like being like an artist manager. I think it would be awesome. I'd be very happy doing that.
Yeah.
Radio DJ, I would love to do that.
You don't do the radio show?
No, I don't. I did that for about 2 years, I think. Something that in tech.
Okay.
I would love to do this in tech. I wish I could, like, program shit.
Yeah.
But it's just not my thing.
Sure. Yeah, although it's not that different than music. I mean, I think it's a lot. It's very different in some ways, but
it's something that can be learned, right? It's a craft. It's totally.
But it's also, like, music is so, I mean... Music is so technologically driven that there's a lot of crossover there now.
Right.
So if I were on your team, what's something I'd hear you say over and over?
What did I say this morning in this email? I sometimes write these emails and I'm like, oh God, I probably came off as an asshole. And like, I sent off a couple of emails this morning and I went for a jog and I'm thinking like, I got to go back and tell these guys I'm sorry. Sometimes I say things like, it's more like of this idea of like, come on guys, like what's going on here? What are we doing here?
Sure.
Come on. Like, I probably picked that up from Dennis actually.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know. I don't get a Saturday and a Sunday.
Right.
So the rest of my, why does the rest of my team get a Saturday and a Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. It's kind of unfair, actually, to be honest. But it's the idea of, like, you know, like, it's like when your, like, manager has, like an away message or, mm-hmm. like, oh, hey, right. I'm out of the office for the day. I'm yeah. like, what?
Like, the one that kills me is when the voicemail is full.
God, it's like, terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard waiting, you know, waiting for other people, right? And I think it's one of the toughest things to do. Especially when you're the type of person that just is used to just making shit happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've had managers in the past that have been terrible at responding to emails. I mean, yeah. with just like 70% of the emails would be unanswered. Yeah. It's like, that just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Like, we're all doing this for the same reason. Like, let's all just work hard. And if you don't want to, if you can't respond to emails, like, maybe we just shouldn't be working together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't, if you don't have the time to like, to work with somebody, like, you're just going to end up fucking with them or holding them back or something. Absolutely. Am I cussing too much?
No, no. Okay. No, totally fine.
I just feel like we're, like, having a conversation and,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
and, like, forgetting that the microphone
no, is it's totally cool. We like it that way.
Good.
I was going to say, I saw some self-development, you know, book or video, whatever, that said, like, it was, like, the definition of growth is, like, is it's the amount of time it takes you from when you send that email to when you realize, like, oh shit, I could have.
Oh, that's great. Right? That's good.
So,
okay.
like, it's never going to go away.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you might catch yourself faster.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you said that. Because yeah. I literally pressed send, and then went on a jog this morning, and I'm like, okay, I have 20 minutes. I need to leave and come to this. And I'm like jogging, and I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. Why did I do that?
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't need to do that. I didn't need to do that.
That's funny.
And that's yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's good.
Who would you be excited to learn as a fan of your work?
Cassie.
Nice.
Just kidding. No, she's like never commented on
no it. Nothing.
Not I think like I did this interview with MTV actually, and I was like, oh, I think she probably hates it because she doesn't like even acknowledge it exists.
Wow.
It's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to know like that someone I sampled like cared that I sampled them.
Yeah.
TLC hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
Actually, the original version of Cool had this Missy Elliott rap part towards the end of it.
Yeah.
And they were like, nope, get that out.
Yeah.
She was actually like, I read an email where she was like, ain't happening. Ain't
right.
happening. And we're like, Sony tried to give her some more money for it. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
She's just not, she doesn't want it in there.
Yeah.
So I tried to like sneak it into a mixtape once and they even caught that.
Wow.
Got it taken down.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn.
Huh.
I'm just imagining Missy Elliott, like, just searching Lay Youth profile. Like,
probably somebody on her behalf. But, yeah, right. That's funny.
Right.
Do you collect anything?
Just, like, any random things collect? I'm into, like, music gear stuff. Uh-huh. So I buy a lot of gear that I never use that just sits in my studio. Like,
sure.
Show off to friends. And then for some reason I buy, like, I'm into buying headphones. Like, but not for DJing.
You and Dennis.
Does Dennis do the same
He's
thing?
He's got like a crazy headphone.
Oh, he
collection.
Does. You're right. He has those big silver ones.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just like buying headphones for flights and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, I go into the, like the airport, like little tech, whatever electronic store, and like look at all the different headphones and be like, oh, those would sound really dope on this flight. It's so stupid.
I kind of get that. I don't buy them, but I see them and you're like, oh yeah. And then you forget you have like
I have like six pairs in my bag behind me.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
I'm not, but yeah, I don't like collect comics or records or anything. I've tried to start a record collection. It's a terrible job.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have time. And I'm so driven and by the things that I'm so motivated rather by the things that I'm actually into, the things that are going to like provide a future for me. And like that's all I just, you know, to a flaw.
Sure.
I think, but that's all I think about.
Yeah. Are you a big reader?
I'm not. I'm the worst reader because I don't read at all.
But you got YouTube videos.
Say what?
YouTube.
You know, like my brother's a reader, my parents are readers, my sister is, and like all my friends are. It doesn't feel very cool to be like, no, I don't read. I wish I did. Do you read?
Yeah, I'm a yes.
How often?
But
do you
I can't make music.
But how often do you read?
Well, so I'm a big audiobook.
Are you
listener.
Doing audiobooks? I just downloaded my first audiobook
Did you?
Last week.
What'd you download?
Somebody made me do it. I'll tell you right now. Actually, my aunt was like, oh, you need to do this. It was like, and it's probably not even like an actual story. It's just, oh, I'm not signed in. But it's like, So if I ever did read, it would be like motivational stuff. It wouldn't be like read a story. Like, I'll just watch the fucking movie when it comes out. Like,
yeah.
So shitty of me.
I do. No, I mean, I like to read, but there's no time.
Yeah, right.
So audiobooks gets me in the car, on the bike, at the gym. Yeah,
that's excellent.
You know, all those times when there's no way you could read.
I mean, I do podcasts.
Yeah.
I do Criminal.
Uh-huh.
So that one's cool. It's like, talks about like crime and shit.
Yeah.
And then, what are the other ones actually? So I just started like listening to them on Spotify. Strangers,
mm-hmm.
The Moth.
I love The Moth. We go, my wife and I go to the live events.
They're probably in LA.
Yeah, they come to LA like 3-4 times a year.
Crazy.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
It's a blast.
And then Savage Lovecast Dance Savage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Nice. What about movies? What movie do you think you've seen the most?
What did we just saw something last night? What did we see last night? Oh my god. We see a lot of movies. That's fucking. Have you seen Hell or High Water? Have you seen that?
I never heard of it.
Hang on. The guy who did Sicario.
Oh, okay.
Sicario?
Yeah.
Excellent movie.
Yeah, it was great. Wait, if you think back, what movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Nice.
Definitely. I watched that like dozens and dozens of
times.
That's
a good one.
So last night we saw Deepwater Horizon with Mark Wahlberg.
Cool.
I was telling my friends, like,
it looks scary.
They thought I was making it up. A movie called Deepwater Horizon starring Mark Wahlberg. Like, oh, that's funny. No, it's a good one, though.
Yeah.
And the other one was, Hell or High Water. It's great. And then I just saw Sully, which kind of freaked me out.
Cause it's about,
like, airplanes
crashing.
I don't
want to watch that.
It's cool.
I fly too much.
No, but it was okay. It actually, like, makes you feel better about it for some reason. Yeah, because it's like, well, one, they all survived.
Right, sure.
And, learning like all the sort of like redundancies that are in airplanes to sort of make sure that kind of shit doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It helps. So
there's a great, I know you're not a reader, but audiobook of, Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay.
It's a great book. There's a lot of just like fun shit that you'll never use in your life, but it's interesting. But there's a chapter on plane crashes and he explains the science, like how they keep planes from crashing and the rare occasions when that doesn't work, but it actually made me like
feel better about it. Have you read about this is crazy. I was like super into this. How to survive falling from airplanes. There's actually things you can do if you're falling out of an airplane. There's certain things you can do to like dramatically raise your chances of survival.
Yeah,
people have survived.
It's not packing a parachute, is it?
No, that's the first one. But there's people literally have survived just straight falling like full velocity and have survived it.
Wow.
Just like shouldered it and just like obviously not just shouldering like on,
but
you can hit hills. You can like you avoid water surprisingly.
Right? Really?
You aim for like trees can help you.
That sounds
if you're
crazy.
Falling with like flight gear, like you're still attached to your seat, you have a better chance of survival.
Yeah, sure.
Just crazy shit. People have like survived some pretty amazing things.
James, let's get that YouTube. Let's find that. All right, last question. Favorite DJ of all time?
Ooh, DJ or music producer?
One of each.
Okay, one of each. Favorite producer is MK.
Uh-huh.
Favorite DJ... who was that? Dorley.
Nice.
Yeah, Doorly.
Yeah.
I just had like a blast watching him DJ.
I don't know him, but I've seen the name.
He's...
and you're the
like,
first to bring him
like,
up on here. So that's
kind
dope.
Of like watching him, I'm like, oh, I'm doing this all wrong.
Really?
Shit. Yeah. I used to go home and practice.
I love that.
He's really good, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Although most every DJ I see makes me feel that way because I'm not
a
good DJ.
But
that's cool.
Yeah.
Dude, thanks for this, man. This is so much fun.
Man. Cheers.
Fucking great lessons.
Yeah.
Appreciate you sharing these stories.
Of course, man.
How does everybody find you online?
Layouth.com would be the first place.
Yeah.
But then, you know, just Facebook. I don't know. I think everyone can just Google it now.
Yeah. I know you're on tour.
The homework tour.
When you coming to LA?
Already played
LA. You just played LA.
Yeah, but I'm playing LA again October 29th with The Magician at exchange.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Nice. Yeah. We'll be there.
Cool.
Rebel Radio gets in free. Actually, yeah, you have to pay.
Yeah.
But either way, just come, pay the money.
Yeah, man.
Tip your waitress. Cool. Thanks, dude.
Yo, that was my man, Lay Youth, with some great stories. Like I said, come see him in Los Angeles on the 29th. If you do, send us a tweet. Let us know you'll be there at Rebel Radio Net, and we'll look for you at the show. Peace.